You have a Bible, open it this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're going to take our text there out of two verses in this passage, chapter 10, Gospel of John, verses 10 and 11. Find that passage there. If you didn't have didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, that's fine. Just listen along. We're going to, in just a moment, when you find the reference, we're going to stand in honor of the Word of God. We believe this is His book and deserves honor. And we're going to read from it, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to have a special song, and we're going to jump right into the message this morning early, like we intended to, because many of you have been here since the 10 o'clock hour. All right, let's stand, please, if you would, in honor of God's good book. Would you please look down at verse number 10? We're going to read verse 10 and 11. Please join me on verse 11. If you have a Bible and want to read that with me, I would appreciate it. That's verse number 11. I'll begin reading with verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And let's pray together before the special. Thank you, dear Father, for your word. I pray that you'll open it to our eyes, our hearts. I pray that we may behold wondrous things out of it. We invite you, dear Holy Spirit of God, to be in this service, to speak to our hearts. I pray as Jesus is lifted up that he'll draw all men to himself. Please honor us and bless us with your presence today. We'll be careful to thank you for it. Speak to us in a very real way. And we'll thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, we ask all this. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
My freedom was dead.
Thank you. And so true. I want to speak this morning out of basically verse number 10 in our text where the Bible says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I'd like to speak on this subject this morning. Don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. He says, the thief, this is Jesus speaking now. These are His words. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So listen carefully, just a little bit on the subject, don't get robbed. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for the beautiful song. Thank You that You loved us enough to send Jesus to this world, to this planet, to provide the sacrifice for our sin. Lord, help us not to get robbed of that life that Jesus came to give. Thank You that He loved us enough and cared for us enough to come. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would come in this service, that quiet, still, small voice, and speak to our hearts, Lord. We give them to You. We ask now that You please help us to concentrate on Your Word, and I'll thank You for it. Depending upon You, we ask all this in Jesus' name, and amen. Verse 10 is my wife's favorite verse. My favorite verse in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9, but this is her favorite verse. I love the last half of verse 10, especially when you couple it with verse number 11. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." These words give us such hope after the dark, dismal, depressing words of the first half of verse 10 that say the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is, the thief only has one purpose in mind. The thief comes to rob someone. The thief comes to rob anyone. The thief comes to rob everyone. That's what he comes to do, if possible, from the life that Jesus said He came to provide. Jesus said, "I came to provide life." And not just life, more abundant life. The thief comes to rob the life that Jesus came to provide. Now, the thief accomplishes his purpose by whatever means it takes. If it's stealing or killing or destroying, doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care. He just gets the job done. As long as life, eternal life, abundant life is not realized. Now, the thief this morning is a reference to any person, a false preacher. The thief is a reference to any religion, a false religion. The thief is a reference to any spirit being who attempts to deceive people away from Jesus Christ. The thief would be a false prophet who preaches another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ. Jesus said very plainly, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You can't hardly interpret that any other way. So the thief is anyone, a false prophet, who preaches another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ. The thief could be a religion which promotes works, doing the best you can, working hard, being good to people and donating money, promoting works as opposed to faith in order to go to heaven. The thief is a religion that points people to something other than Jesus Christ. The thief could be the devil. Could be. Who through deceit blinds the minds and the eyes of people to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. So no matter. No matter if it's a false prophet, a false religion, or the devil himself, the end result of all three is the same. Whether it's the false preacher, the false religion, or the devil himself, the end result is a person who misses out on the life that Jesus said He came to provide. Jesus came to provide that life. Now, many of you will know the name Joe Esposito. A few months ago, Brother Joe called me and he said, "We're having a building campaign here. We need to build a building, and we need to put a they have codes out there in California and Long Beach. You have to, if you're going to build a structure that's used for public services, You have to build a parking structure before you can build the structure to house the people. That's their code. So they said, we're going to have to build a parking garage, and then we want to expand our auditorium. Folks, they're running about 1,000 there on Sunday mornings now. And I'll tell you more about it tonight. Absolutely incredible. The church has exploded. They've reached out to the Filipino population of Long Beach, and it's just incredible what my wife and I were a part of Friday night. She said, can you come speak at the banquet? And I've been out of town to Ohio. I said, Brother Joe, I'll only go out twice a month. He said, could you do us a favor? Come out for the banquet, just in and out. So, you know, I'll fly you out, fly you home, red eye if you want to, or whatever you want to do, fly your wife out. Would you please come? Because it was Joe Esposito and Mary who sends her greetings and says to this church, thank you for the influence you had on her life when she was a young girl here. And they got their 8 children there, precious family. So we went out. We flew out to Long Beach. It was a very fast trip. We weren't even there 24 hours. I got there, and my intentions, because I didn't sleep Wednesday night. I had about 2.5 hours sleep, for I had to go to college Thursday and teach. And I was super busy Thursday afternoon here and at the house getting ready to go, be gone Friday and Saturday. So I thought, you know, honey, we'll land out there. We'll land out there about 11:30, I think, 11:40 a.m. The plane lands in Long Beach. We'll just go to the motel and sleep and get some rest. Brother Joe has a member in his church who has a red convertible Corvette. He said, Brother Terry, he said, I borrowed this for you from a man in our church. Let me switch to the other microphone here. He said, I borrowed this from you from a man in our church, for you. He said, you and your wife can have it all afternoon. Well, there went our sleep. Friday afternoon, I was headed down Pacific Coast Highway to Huntington Beach, Seal Beach, Pacific Ocean on the right, convertible top down, red Corvette, the speedometer read 300 miles an hour. Amen. Said, how fast did you get? Well, not quite 300, but it does move. You say, were you worried about getting a ticket? No, I heard a story some time ago. I know how to get out of that. A police officer stopped this lady for speeding. He went to the window and said, ma'am, do you know how fast you were going? She said, no, I don't. Said, well, you're speeding excessively. Can I see your driver's license? And she said, I don't have one. Had DUI 6 months ago, and I lost it. And he said, well, can you give me the registration to the car? She said, it doesn't have a registration. It's not my car. I stole it, shot and killed the driver, and put him in the trunk. And, man, he backed up from the window, and he had that little, he said, you stay right there. And he had that little lapel mic on. He called for his commanding officer to come, and pretty soon here came this cruiser van, lights flashing and the siren wailing, and the officer got out, and they talked there for a while. And that commanding officer, he said, you get in the cruiser and start filling out the paperwork. I'll handle her. So he went to the car, and he told her, he said, ma'am, he said, I want you to keep your hands visible. I want you to step out of the car with your hands in the air. She did so. He said, step to the back of the car, please. And she did so. And he said, now I want you to open the trunk. And he braced himself. When she opened it, it was spotless. Wasn't a thing in there. Not even a piece of paper. He said, he just kind of stood for a minute, stared at it. He said, ma'am, do you have a registration for this car? She said, sure. It's in the glove compartment. Let me get it for you. So she got it out. It was completely in order. Had her name on it and everything. And he said, I'm a little confused. Do you have a driver's license? She said, sure, it's in my wallet. So she reached in, got it out, handed it to him. Everything was in order. He said, ma'am, I'm really confused now. He said, that officer back there in that car told me that you didn't have a driver's license. You lost it DUI 6 months ago. That you didn't have a car registration for this car. It wasn't your car. You stole it, shot and killed the driver, and put him in the trunk. I'm confused. She looked back. She said, yeah, I bet that liar told you I was speeding too, didn't he? Amen. So, you know. So that's how you get out of that. So, and so I was going to use that if necessary Friday afternoon. We were cruising down. It was a beautiful day out there, 65 degrees, and it was a cruel trip time wise and everything. But that's the fun part. Let me tell you the sad part. Filipino pastor picked us up at the LAX airport and took us to Long Beach. We were approaching the intersection just down from the church. And as we were approaching the intersection, he said, the church is on the right. And so I was looking for that, looking over there. I noticed he slowed down to make the turn. It was a busy intersection. It had a right-hand turn there, a little turn lane. As he was slowing down, he said, what is that? And I looked, and here was a lady a well-dressed lady, blonde-haired lady, laying in the intersection of this busy intersection, her hands over her face, screaming, "Kill me, please, please, somebody kill me. Kill me, please, somebody kill me. Kill me, please." He said, "What's she doing?" I said, "I think she's trying to commit suicide." We pulled the car. He started slowing down to get out to try to go help the lady. And here some people came running from the sidewalk and everything. And they, I mean, in a busy, busy intersection, busier than Armour Road and Convent down here. She's laying on the pavement, or lying on the pavement. I'm not sure which is the correct word to use, English teachers, but she was down on the pavement there, okay? And she's screaming, and I mean just the most pathetic voice you ever heard in your life. Of course, my wife is in the back seat. She's horrified. "Kill me, somebody, please kill me. Kill me, please." I have been unable to get that lady, the picture of that lady, out of my mind since Friday morning. I thought, how sad. This was not some street woman. This was not some bum of a lady. This lady was well-dressed and looked to be 40 to 50 years of age and long flowing blonde hair and laying on the street in the middle of a busy Long Beach, California intersection pleading for somebody to run over and kill her. And I thought to myself, how sad. How sad. There is a person who so far has been robbed of what Jesus came to provide for them. She's been robbed. The thief has come. And through the stealing or killing or destroying has robbed her from what Jesus said He came to provide for her and her loved ones. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I came to provide this for these people." And here is a woman lying in the intersection. Brother Joe, help us there. Ushers, Tom, somebody help us there. Get folks settled as they come in. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. And here she was, lying in this intersection. And I thought to myself, someone or something has robbed her of her joy, robbed her of hope, robbed her of the life that Jesus came to provide for her, and has left her wishing for death, estranged from the life that Jesus came to give her. Screaming, "Somebody kill me, please, somebody kill me." My heart has been heavy for that woman since I saw that millions more like her who are missing the life of joy, glory, peace, and fulfillment that Jesus came to give them. And I want to say this, I thought this Friday morning, no doubt me and several others in this room were on the same road to the same end as that poor woman. And we didn't quite hit the depth of the bottom as she did. But had we been left to our own way, we very well could have ended up in the middle of an intersection screaming, "Somebody kill me, please, somebody kill me." But Jesus changed all that. And I began to think about the life that I enjoy now. The wife God has given me and our children and this church to pastor and friends and being in the will of God. Boy, it's so full and wonderful and blessed, and life is so different for me than it was that poor woman lying in the intersection of Long Beach, California, screaming for somebody, hoping somebody would run over her and kill her. Life is so different. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I'm no more deserving of it than she is. That very well could have been me or you. I want you to think with me for a few minutes this morning about don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. That poor woman's been robbed so far. Don't get robbed. I want you to see in this verse right here, number one this morning, the fact of His coming. The fact of His coming. Jesus said in verse number 10, "I am come. I am come." Now look here. Jesus was not of this world. This verse does not mean that He had to come from another geographical location to the Middle East. Jesus had to come from another location. But it wasn't this earth. Jesus came from heaven. Think of the world that He left to come to this world. He left heaven. And most people who know anything about heaven know that heaven and earth are vastly different. They are not the same. Some misguided folks teach and believe and preach and say that heaven is on this earth. Oh, no, my friend. Heaven's not goodness. No. 10,000 times no. Heaven is not on this earth. If, it's like Paul said in the New Testament, if in this life only we have hope, if our only hope is in this planet, in this world, we are of all men most miserable. No, heaven is a place far different than this place. In His book, God tells us what is there, and He tells us what is not there. And what is there is all good, and what is not there is all bad and miserable. And Jesus left all of that to come to this place. Now, you know what we do? We applaud and we appreciate men and women who become missionaries. And they leave their native countries and go across seas, sometimes to third world countries, in order to preach the gospel. We applaud them being willing to leave and go to another country to preach the gospel, doing without the modern conveniences of their native country. But I want to tell you something. No man, no woman has ever left modern conveniences and gone to a third world country to begin to compare with what Jesus left when He left heaven to come to this earth. Jesus left perfection for imperfection. Jesus left bliss for blight. Jesus left the cries of hallelujah for the curses of hatred. I said the fact of His coming. Aren't you glad that Jesus did come? He left heaven and came to this earth. Let me say something, folks. For Him to leave heaven and come to this earth, it must mean the need was pretty big. If the need could have been met by somebody here on this planet, don't you think God would have done it that way? But the need that man has can't be met by any person on this planet. The need that we have can only be met by Jesus Christ. He was willing to leave heaven and come here for us to give us life. That's the fact of His coming. I am come. Jesus came. Now look very carefully. Listen very carefully. Jesus didn't come just to heal those who were sick. He caused blinded people to be able to see. He caused deaf people to be able to hear. He healed folks while He was here. But He didn't come for that purpose. He came to give life. That's the fact of His coming. Now I want to say number two this morning, the favor in His coming. The favor in His coming. He came. But He said that He came that they might have life. The only purpose for coming to this world was so that you and I might have life. Can you think of anything more unselfish than what Jesus did? Left heaven and came to this earth so that you and I might have life. And not just life, but abundant life, eternal life. When I think of life, I think of love. I think of peace. I think of joy. I think of blessedness. I think of laughter. I think of family. I think of friends. And yes, Jesus came to provide all of that. But He came to provide something more than just life here. He came to provide life eternal. He came so that we might live with Him where He came from, where He is now, where He will be forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what He came for, to give us not only life here, but eternal life in heaven, as opposed to eternal death in hell. Now listen very carefully. Every person in this room is an eternal soul. One of these days, our body is going to go to the way of the grave. But hear me very carefully, friend. That Bible makes it very clear that once the body goes the way of the grave, the soul and spirit go to one of two places. Has to, because you're eternal. I'm eternal. There are only two eternal homes. Heaven, everlasting life. And hell, everlasting death. That's why Jesus came. He did not want us to die and leave this world and go to hell and spend an eternity in the everlasting death of the lake of fire. That's why He came. So that we might have life. He came so that that poor woman in the intersection there in Long Beach might have life. Not only life on earth, but eternal life. Everlasting life in heaven with Him, where there are no bad things, where there are no bad people, where there are no bad circumstances. Everything is wonderful and pleasant and marvelous in heaven. He came so that we might live forever in that place. Can I suggest to you, friend, that that's favor? That's favor. Did you ever ask anybody to do you a favor? Did you ever say to anybody, could you do me a favor? And if that person responded, sure, I could try, sure try to do it to you, do you a favor, then, you know, that was pretty, you were grateful for that. You asked them, and they did you a favor. But how about this? Did anybody just do you a favor without asking you, without you asking them? They saw a need. They just did you a favor. Something just happened good, and you said, where'd this come from? Who's responsible for this? And you found out, oh, your friend or your coworker or your relative or somebody, your neighbor, did you a favor without you even asking them to do that favor. You know what? You would be more grateful for that favor than you were for the other one because you asked for that one. This person over here did you a favor simply out of the love and concern of their heart. And that means far more to you than even asking somebody to do you a favor. Can I tell you this morning that nobody asked Jesus to come to this planet. Nobody asked him to leave heaven. He came on his own. You know why he came? To do us a favor. He came to this planet to do us a favor. Let me tell you something. As far as he was concerned personally, he gained nothing from being here. He was hated. They spit in his face. When they got ready to crucify him, they beat him in the head. They pulled his beard out with their fingers. They cursed and mocked. Say, if you, who you claim to be, who hit you? Put a bag over his head and hit him. Said, tell us who hit you. They took him to the cross. They nailed his hands and feet to that cross. They slung that cross up in the air after they had scourged him 39 times with a cat of nine tails. Let me ask you a question. What did that gain him? What did that do for him? You know why he did that? He did us a favor. He came for us. He came out of love and concern for us that we might have life. Listen, each and every one of us is headed to that place of everlasting death, separated from God forever and ever. If it were not for the fact that Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again, we would be hopeless. But because he died, and because he was buried, and because he rose again the third day, because he did us a favor, we now have the opportunity to have that life, that eternal life, that abundant life in heaven throughout all of eternity. I submit to you and I this morning, he did us a favor. I like that song Daniel sang. Yes, sir. The one earthly reason that he came was for me. He came for you. He came for me. The fact of his coming, the favor of his coming, all the favor Jesus did us when he came to this planet, when he left heaven to die and pay our sin debt. Oh, the favor he did us. Then let me say, lastly this morning, I want to point out the fight over his coming. The fight over his coming. You say, where's the fight? I don't see the fight. Oh, yes, it's right there. It's in the first three words of verse number 10. The thief cometh. There's the fight. You see, there's a great war going on, folks. I'm not talking about the war over in Iraq this morning. I'm talking about the war that the thief is waging to keep, listen, to rob people of life. Don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. The thief is waging a war on your soul to keep you from coming to Jesus so that you could have life. Don't get robbed. If Jesus came to give you life, eternal life and abundant life, you don't want to miss that. You don't want the Satan and the devil and other religions and false preachers to rob you from that. He came to give everyone life. Why doesn't everyone then turn to Jesus? Why don't people worldwide run to Jesus Christ and receive salvation? Because the thief is very active. The thief is very active in keeping men and women. young people, boys and girls, from Jesus Christ. The thief has lots of tools at his disposal. He uses the attractions of this world. The glitter. The flashing lights. All the things of this world to keep people's minds and thoughts off of eternity. He uses the attractions of this world to steal and rob. He also uses the attitude of apathy. I don't need anything. I think that's where most Americans are today. I don't need anything, man. Look at what I got. I got this house. You got a 3-car garage. I got vehicles. I got a mower for my grass. I got food in the pantry. The refrigerator is full. I've got some money in the bank. I've got some money on CDs. I've got a retirement set up, a 401k that's operative, and a 403b going out of the salary reduction. I got this set aside. I've been to the doctor. I'm in good health. What do I need? Why do I need Jesus? Because, friends, listen very carefully. No house ever got anybody to heaven. No car got anybody to heaven. No bank account got anybody to heaven. Are you listening this morning? The attitude of apathy. Why do I need Jesus? I have everything that I need. We're not talking about physical needs this morning, friend. We're talking about spiritual need. And believe me, every person is born into this world with a spiritual need. Every person. You've got one this morning. I'm going to tell you something. Listen very carefully. That lady that was in the intersection in Long Beach, California has one too. Kill me, please. Somebody kill me. Huh? Just spiritual need. I said to you, she was not some poorly dressed street woman sleeping under a cardboard box. The woman was well dressed. I have no idea what put her there. But she's being robbed. Don't get robbed. I think about the aura of invincibility. The feeling, the sense of being in complete control of my life. I'm not worried about that, Pastor Angel. One of these days, I'll take care of settling up with God, but I will do it when I am ready. I'm not like that woman in Long Beach, California. I don't need to go out and lay in the intersection and say, kill me, please kill me. I'm not like that. There's an invincibility about us. We feel that we got everything in control. The truth of the matter is, friend, listen very carefully. That Bible right there teaches that God dishes out our every breath. Now, you tell me something. When will you draw your last one? When? You say you're trying to scare. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get us beyond the attitude of invincibility. We get to a place where we're invincible. We think, hey, nothing, my life's under control. My times are in His hands. The day of my leaving this world is not up to me, it's up to Him. It's in His hands. Now listen very carefully. All of those, the attractions of this world, the attitude of apathy, the aura of invincibility, all of those are the result of the great fight going on over your eternal destination. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you being robbed? Are you being robbed? You see, the Bible says the thief wants to rob you of what Jesus came to give you. Are you being robbed? My fear is that the thief will rob you of such a life. He'll rob you. Have you settled up with God through Jesus Christ? You don't want to get robbed of the life, the eternal life, the abundant life that Jesus came to give. Because the thief comes to rob. I didn't know which direction for sure to go this morning in the message, special day like this, but I want to tell you something. Listen very carefully to me. I don't believe in luck, and I don't believe in coincidence. I believe with all my heart that I had a divine appointment Friday morning in Long Beach, California. God took me 2,400 miles to show me an example of a poor lady who's being robbed. And I put it on my heart then to come to this congregation this morning and said, look, don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. Ever have your house broken into? Never had to go through that. My uncle lived in Baltimore, Maryland for 13 years, and I never forget one time they had been home to visit for summer vacation, and when they returned to Baltimore, they called. My aunt was very distraught. She said, our house has been robbed. Thieves came. They pulled all the drawers out of the dressers and the chest of drawers and threw all the stuff around looking for money and coins and jewelry and valuables and ransacked the house. And I will forget how violated my aunt and uncle felt because they'd been robbed. Let me tell you something very carefully, very, very, very importantly. Listen, that's bad enough. But if the thief I'm talking about this morning robs you of eternal life, that's 10 million times worse. Don't get robbed. Jesus came to give you life. Eternal life. Don't let the thief rob it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. I'm not going to pull any tricks. This is not any kind of trick or anything. I'm just going to ask a few questions this morning. No one is looking. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention. You're very kind to listen today. Only thing I'm going to ask you to do in the next 5 minutes is just to be honest. And really, it's not so much that you're honest with me as you are honest with yourself. Honest with yourself. Honest before God this morning. In the end, it doesn't matter if you're honest with me or not. What does matter is that you're honest with yourself and honest with God. Who's here and you could say this morning, Pastor, I am 100% sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But before I ask you to raise your hand, I'm going to ask you again to be honest. Am I going to, don't look down the pew and say, okay, is this what I'm supposed to do? You're supposed to do what you know is honest to do. Pastor, I'm 100% sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I have eternal life through Jesus. I know it. I'm sure of it. If you can say that honestly, would you raise your hand, please, all over the room this morning? This is no trick. This is no game. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, scattered across the auditorium here and there were a few folks that were very honest. I appreciate that. Appreciate your honesty. They asked you this morning, said, Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I don't want to get robbed. That concerns me. My eternal destination concerns me. And I don't want to get robbed by the thief of the life that Jesus came to give. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand, please? Raise it up, put it up in the air. Let me see it. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Yes, you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Somebody else this morning? Thank you. You may take your hand down once it's in the air. Somebody else this morning? Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about that. Pray for me. I know what my religion teaches. I know what I've heard a preacher say, but I don't know what the Bible says about it. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand along with these? God bless you. Is there somebody else? God bless you and you. God bless you. We'll take a minute. We're early. We're in good shape. Anybody else before I pray? You may take your hand down. Dear Father, I thank you so much for every person in this room this morning. And dear Spirit of God, I thank you for speaking to hearts. And I pray for these that lifted a hand. I said I would. I pray, dear God, that you'll help them this morning to see the need. Help them to see the opportunity to receive Christ to be saved. And I pray, God, for them that they will not be robbed of that eternal life that Jesus came to give them. Please, God, speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking still, please. If you just raised your hand a moment ago, you asked me to pray for you. I just did. Would you just look at me for a minute? Keep looking at me. God bless you. Over here, if you raised your hand, would you look at me just for a minute? God bless you. God bless you. Over here, yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. most important decision you'll ever make in life is to trust Christ as your Savior. I did that 31 years ago, October, sitting in a church service just like this, when somebody preached like I did this morning, gave me the opportunity to trust Christ as my Savior. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking but you folks. If you meant that, and you'd like to know for sure how to go to heaven, you'd like to be saved, you'd like to get it settled, we have men, we have ladies who have Bibles that are ready to help you this morning. We're ready to do this. Our folks know. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking to embarrass you. Why don't you just come right now? Just stand up out of your seat, walk out to the nearest aisle. That's right, just come. That'd be great. Would you come? We'll have somebody take a Bible. This is not a trick. This is not a game. This is not something to try to get you to join the church. We're not asking for that this morning. We're just asking you to come. Let somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved. Would you come this morning? Just ask them if you could step out. That's right. God bless you. We went. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you come? Would it mean that much to you to take the Bible and show you how to be sure you're going to heaven someday? Would you come? While we wait here, just a second, would you think about it? Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not trying to embarrass you in any way. We'd like to have somebody get the opportunity to show you how to be saved. Would you come, please? Would you come? Let somebody show you. You raised your hand. I'll tell you what we'll do in just a moment. We're going to stand. Our ladies are going to play the songs of invitation. You feel more comfortable coming when people are standing, no one is looking. Maybe you didn't raise a hand. You say, you know what, I should have had my hand in the air because I don't know if I die that I'd go to heaven. Maybe you should come this morning. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. The thief comes to rob, steal the life that Jesus came to give. Don't miss it this morning. Would you come? Be ready. Let somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved. Maybe you're here this morning. You said, Pastor, I've been saved, but never baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? You're saved, but not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. God bless you. If you're ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning, I would invite you to come. I know we have somebody coming over from our junior church service to do that. God bless you. Brother Scott and Linda are ready to help you get ready for baptism this morning. Somebody else will be coming in just a minute. All right, very good. Now, what we're going to do in just a minute is this. I'm going to pray again. We're going to stand. Our ladies are going to play the piano and the organ, the instruments, and we're going to just stand for a few minutes. And if you'd like to use the altar this morning, maybe you'd like to come and let somebody show you how to be saved. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, I beg you, don't let Satan, don't let the thief rob you of the life that Jesus came to give. That's all we're asking this morning. It's not a trick. It's not a game. It's not some funny thing. It's to show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven someday. Dear Father, I pray that you'll bless this time of invitation. Draw people to Christ. Help them to come and receive you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior, I pray. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Would you do that? Would you leave your seat and let somebody come right down here, meet you at the front, and show you how the Bible, how to be saved? I invite you to come this morning. Would you do that this morning? While we wait, would you come? If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, not sure that you're saved, would you come? Let somebody show you. While we wait together this morning, it's a Bible word. Bible doctrine and teaching, salvation. Jesus came to give it. The thief comes to steal it. Any way he can, he'll rob you of that life. Don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. Would you come this morning? We'd love the opportunity to show you from the Bible how you can know for certain that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come? Would you come? While we wait this morning. Join these that have come. have time for you to come. Would you come this morning? Let me invite you to come this morning. This is why I think the Bible is